Tonight, I will be speaking from Titus chapter 1, verse 5 on one phrase, setting in order the things that are wanting. Setting in order the things that are lacking. I feel like the Lord gave me something and I'm looking forward to bringing that message. But I have a very depressing subject for this morning. I'm going to speak on depression. Depression. Let me say a couple of things before we begin. I will be preaching the gospel. This is not some kind of psychoanalysis. This is not the words of a psychologist or a counselor. I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way I came up with this message is, if you attend Bible study, you know we're studying the Psalms right now. And we're in Psalm 119. Some very important teaching. And as I was looking ahead as to what we're going to deal with, I couldn't get away from this passage of Scripture that we just looked at, particularly in verse 25, where David, the man after God's own heart, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, very special man, David says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." That's low, isn't it? My soul is joined to the dust. Look what he says in verse 28. "My soul melteth for heaviness." Now, he is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't put on a Colgate smile at this time. He says, "My soul melts. I'm utterly discouraged." David says, "I am depressed." And I got to looking at this and I felt a need to deal with this subject of depression. And I'm going to do it in light of the gospel. Now, depression is a reality. It was for David. You can see that from his own words. It is a part of the human experience, and believers are not exempt from this thing of being depressed. It is a reality, and if you're not depressed now, you will be tomorrow, to one degree or the other. You will be. No human being is exempt from this. It is brought on by a fallen, sinful nature called the flesh. Now, I want you to hear this statement, and this is a very important statement. I'm going to back it up, and you're going to have to stay with me. But listen to this. Depression is sin. Now, I want to repeat that. I want you to hear exactly what I said. Depression is sin. Now, what exactly is depression? Well, we generally think of getting the blues. And everybody gets that. We get the blues, we start feeling sad, dissatisfied, and so on. But it becomes worse, if that's the right way to say that, when it becomes a feeling of helplessness and despair. Now, that's depression. That's when it's one thing to have the blues. Everybody gets that. But it's another thing to feel utterly helpless and to feel in despair. It's that feeling that comes over you when you fear that things are not going to get better. Now, that's when you're depressed. When you fear that things are not going to get better. Somebody once said, an optimist is somebody who believes we have the best of both worlds. And a pessimist fears that's true. It's not going to get better. And that makes you feel so dark, so bleak, so hopeless. It's a despairing outlook, and it makes you miserable, and it makes you unhappy.
And David struggled with this. David, the man after God's own heart. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David struggled with this thing of depression. And some of us do too. Now, what causes depression? What causes depression? You know, David asked this question. He said in Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Is your soul ever cast down? "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why is thy spirit disquieted within thee?" He's asking the question, why? Well, I've already answered that question. Sin is the cause of depression. Let me repeat that. Sin is the cause of depression. If there were no sin, there would be no depression, would there? Isn't that so? If there were no sin, there would be no depression. It's the product, it's the child, it's the offspring of unbelief. In every instance, no exceptions to that rule. If we had perfect faith, would we be depressed? Depression is the product of our unbelief. Which one of us has perfect faith? Anybody here? Now, in general, sin and unbelief is the cause of depression. You see that. In general, sin and unbelief is the cause of depression. That's why it's a sin. When I'm depressed, it's sin. When you're depressed, it's sin. It's the product of the sinful nature. It's brought on by unbelief. But let's be even more particular in examining the causes of depression. I'm going to look at Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32, as to how David dealt with this thing of depression in light of the gospel. But let's examine the causes of depression. Depression, that unhappy, miserable, blue feeling that reaches its worst point when it becomes despair. And a totally bleak outlook. Sometimes, maybe some of you have never experienced that, where you just feel total despair. Some of you have. And you know what a horrible feeling it is. As a matter of fact, I've only gone through that one time where I felt despair. And I will take physical pain and suffering over that any day. That's the worst thing I've ever gone through when I felt that way. Now, what is it that causes depression? Now, I've got several things. I've thought about this. Depression can, first of all, be brought on by circumstances. There are circumstances that are so wretched, so terrible. There are things that happen that are so very trying and difficult that it brings on depression. And before you get too hard on that person sitting beside you that's depressed, you don't know what they're going through. And it probably is the fact that if you were going through what they were going through, you'd react worse than they do. You may be just totally overwhelmed with it. Circumstances, difficult trials can bring on depression. Circumstances can be so disappointing. People can be so disappointing and you get depressed. So circumstances can bring on depression. But here, there's other things that bring on depression. Here's something that brings on depression. Think about this. Guilt. Guilt. Feeling guilty. People spend millions of dollars on counseling and psychologists to tell them, "You're not guilty." Isn't that what is behind modern psychology? You're not guilty. It's not your fault. You don't have a reason to feel guilty. I never will forget. I read a book one time, a couple of years ago, entitled "Blame It on the Brain," and it was dealing with different reasons as to what happens to people, why they become depressed, and so on. And this was great. I read this one chapter on head injuries, and in head injuries, real head injuries, it can change your personality, it can make you more aggressive, and so on. And there's something to that. And I've had some head injuries. I got to shut my brain right now. I've fallen out of a barn before on my head. I've been knocked unconscious three times. And I remember reading that book And it was talking about how this can change your personality and so on. And I remember I thought, it's not my fault. I felt so good. I felt so cleansed. It's not my fault. Oh, I bit the hook, didn't I? I bit the hook. I saw, this is what psychology, it's not your fault. Guilt brings depression. Here's something else that brings depression. A low self-image. Feelings of inferiority. And I'm talking about feeling inferior to other people. I'm not talking about a true conviction of sin before God. You feel inferior to other people. There was a fellow once who was just struggling with these feelings of inferiority. He thought, I need to go see a doctor about this. And he went to the doctor and told him about all the problems he was having. He said, I'm afraid I got an inferiority complex. So the doctor put him through a barrage of tests and so on. And he went through it for a couple of days. And at the end of the time, the doctor said, well, I've got some good news and bad news. Here's the good news. You don't have an inferiority complex. You are inferior. That's the bad news. I mean, what a doctor. But the point I want to make, though, is a low self-image in that sense. Feeling inferior to other people. That brings on depression. It really does. It brings on depression. It brings people low. And let me say this. I want to say this particularly to you with children. Develop a healthy sense of self-esteem in your children. And I'm not talking about pride before God, self-righteousness, and so on. I'm not talking about that at all. But the way to establish a healthy self-image in your kids is not by telling them how wonderful they are. Oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Oh, you're just the greatest thing ever. You know all that's going to do? That's going to make them irresponsible, and it's going to make them think the world owes them a living. Oh, I'm wonderful. Bring it on. Give it to me. No, don't do that. Give them things they can do to achieve in. Give them something that they can do and complete, and that's what's going to develop a healthy self-image. Achieving at something, doing well. I mean, the simplest task. You know, last night, it's kind of funny. Last night, we're doing kind of a construction project at our house, and I tore out all this drywall and everything, and I was just so overwhelmed with this big pile of broken up drywall, and I got the garbage bags, and I cleaned it. I thought, there's no way I'll ever get this mess cleaned up. I finally got it cleaned up. I felt so good about myself. I can, you know, a sense of achievement. I did something. I did it right. I mean, it worked. You know, I mean, that. There you go, Lynn. There's something I'm good for. The point I'm trying to make is a low feelings of inferiority compared with other people. It brings on depression. Here's the next thing that brings on depression: a lack of discipline. A lack of discipline will create depression. Intemperance. No self-control. Out of control. Out of control. And it creates habits like overeating and lack of exercise, lack of discipline. And somebody says, well, I don't have time for anything. Yeah, you do. You've got time to do anything you want to do. Now, there's no question about that. Everybody's got time to do anything they want to do, but a lack of discipline, a lack of control. And this is even more true spiritually. Improper diet. What's our diet? The Word of God. An improper diet spiritually. You need plenty of rest. If you don't have enough rest, you get depressed. Well, what if you're not resting in Christ? You reckon you'll get depressed? Oh, you'll get miserable not resting in Christ. Lack of exercise, lack of spiritual discipline, lack of spiritual effort in seeking the Lord diligently. That's going to bring on depression. I can say to some of you, no wonder you're depressed. You don't eat. You certainly don't eat much. You don't feed on the Word of God the way you should. No wonder you're depressed. What do you think? What do you expect? That brings on depression. Here's something else that brings on depression: being a control freak. What do I mean by that? When we want to control people, we want to control them because we want them to do what we want them to do. And we get depressed when they don't do what we want them to do. You know, you can't change anybody. You can't change anybody. People do what they want to do. That's what they're doing. And you can't change anybody. And when we're a control freak, we want to change them so they'll please us, and we get depressed when they don't do what we want them to do. Selfishness. Here's depression.
selfishness. Self-centeredness always brings depression. When it's all about me, and if everybody doesn't jump on my bandwagon, I get depressed. I start feeling isolated. I start feeling alone. I start feeling separated and cut off because everybody's not living to serve me, is what it comes right down to. That's where these feelings come from in depression. It's selfishness. A bad environment can bring on depression. You know, I've heard of light therapy. You've read about that. You know, you've got to get, you know, sometimes when people are depressed, they need to be around a bunch of light and so on. And maybe there's something to it, because I know this: if I'm in an environment where the only light's the light of a color TV, I get depressed. You know, I mean, just that whole environment, it can bring on depression. No purpose brings on depression. Nothing to do, as it were. You might call it laziness or lack of purpose or slothfulness. You know, there's always plenty to do. And whenever somebody doesn't have anything to do, that's just laziness. There's plenty of ways to serve others. And when I have nothing to do, you find me a depressed person, quite often I'll show you an idle person. Someone who doesn't have anything to do, no purpose. Here's something that causes depression: the person with the victim mentality. A victim mentality. What do I mean by that? Well, you're always a victim. Nothing's ever your fault. It's somebody else's fault. You were just a victim. You were just a victim. It's my upbringing's fault. It's my environment's fault. It's the government's fault. It's my mom and dad's fault. It's my genetics' fault. I am a victim. I'm a victim. And whenever you're a victim, you're always going to get depressed. You know, that's just part of it. And there is, listen to this, there is such a thing as a chemical imbalance. Now, that's real. There is such a thing as a chemical imbalance that will aid in this thing of depression and can cause intense, deep depression. I know that's so. Because I remember, I've told you about this many times before, but I changed medications when I was on chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff. I remember one time I took it upon myself to change my own medications. I knew better than the doctor did, always do. And I changed it, and I remember I went into a hole that was unbelievable. I was so depressed, and I wanted to kill myself. And I was afraid to get in a car. I thought, if I do, I'll go out and just purposely run it into a telephone pole. I mean, it was so bleak. One little chemical got out of whack, and I turned into a basket case. And I went to the doctor to talk to him about it, and he said, well, did you change your medication? I said, yeah. He said, well, what'd you do that for? I said, I don't know, you know, but I did. And I changed my medication, and I got back to normal the next day. But that proves to me that there is such a thing as a chemical imbalance. And people can get something out of whack, and it can just change their outlook on everything. You know, even if you feel bad physically, you get depressed. When I had the flu a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to die. You know, I mean, oh, kill me. I can't stand this, you know. You're depressed. You know, there are things that cause depression. Depression is a reality. Sin is behind every one of these things. Even in the chemical imbalances, yeah, and I can say that with full conviction, because when I was going through that, the feelings of unbelief, the hard thoughts toward God, the vile thoughts toward God that dominated my thinking, yeah, sin was involved in that. You see, you can never separate anything from a sinful nature, can you? You can never separate anything from a sinful nature. Now, depression is a reality, David said, the man after God's own heart. David, anybody got any doubt that David was a believer? No doubt about it, David was a believer. And David said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He said, my soul melteth for heaviness. Depression is sin, it's caused by sin, and depression is the child, the offspring of unbelief. Somebody says, okay, I see what you're saying, and deep down I know it's so, but what am I supposed to do about it? What am I supposed to do about it? Remember, this is not counseling. This is not psychology. This is the gospel. And we're going to understand how this is dealt with in light of the gospel. Because let me say this also. The gospel is the most emotionally healthy thing in the world. There's nothing more emotionally healthy than the gospel. So let's see how David dealt with this. Look in verse 25 of our text. Psalm 119, verse 25. David says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Now that's low. He felt low down. My soul cleaveth to the dust. Now, When you're like that, you can't pick yourself up by the bootstraps.
Believe God. My soul cleaves to the dust. Well, get up out of this. I can't. My soul cleaves to the dust. Look over in Psalm 130. Hold your finger there and look at Psalm 130.
Verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord.
I didn't climb out of the depths first and then start crying. No, the only place I can really cry is from the depths. Out of the depths. I can't get myself out of this hole. I can't pull myself up by the bootstraps. Now, if you're like this, there's only one thing you can do. Cry to the Lord.
Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. And look what David says in verse 25 of our text. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken Thou me. He's going to the only one who can do anything for him. If I'm depressed, you can't help me. I mean, you can say good stuff, but you can't help me. I can't help you. There's only one person that can help this one who is truly like this. That's the Lord Himself. He says, quicken Thou me according to Thy word. Give me life according to Your word. Now, if you're dead, how dependent are you upon the Lord to give you life? It's not 99% dependent, is it? It's 100% totally dependent upon Him. Quicken me. Give me life according to Your word. Now, when you feel dead, I can't see Christ. I can't hear the gospel. I can't hear His voice. I can't feel His embrace. I can't smell the sweet savor of His aroma. I can't taste that He's gracious. I'm dead. Quicken me. Give me life according to Thy word. And if you're in the depths, that's your prayer. Quicken me. Give me life according to Your word, according to Your gospel. Give me life. Raise me from the dead to be able to see Christ, to hear the gospel, to feel His embrace, to smell His savor. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word. Now look in verse 26. David says, I have declared my ways, and Thou heardest me. Now, how does he deal with this? Well, first he says, quicken Thou me according to the word. But next he deals with confession of sin. Confession of sin. I have declared my ways. This is an acknowledgement of guilt and an acknowledgement of responsibility. You know, I've always seen that people who are depressed, when I'm depressed, when you're depressed, we always have a hard time dealing with personal responsibility in this thing. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's my fault. It's my fault. And there must be an acknowledgement of personal guilt. You know, people who have trouble with what we call the doctrines of grace.
Election and limited atonement and so on. Well, the only reason you have trouble with that is because you don't really believe you're guilty. If you're guilty before God, if you're sinful before God, it's your only hope. It's not bad news, it's good news. You're not going to have any trouble with the doctrines of grace if you ever confess your sin before God. A real sinner finds his hope in that. The only hope I have is that salvation is of the Lord. Now, in this thing of depression, there's always a problem with acknowledging guilt. It's somebody else's fault. But here's how David handles this. He says, I've declared my ways. You know, there's nothing more soul-cleansing than to confess your sin before God. I'm not talking about before men, but I'm talking about before God. Where you take side with God against yourself. You agree with what God says. Whatever He says is right. Guilty. That's my plea before God. I plead guilty as charged. No excuses. No extenuating circumstances. Not somebody else's fault. It's my fault. Guilty, guilty, guilty before God.
David says, I've acknowledged my ways. And I tell you what, before this confession comes, we're going to stay down, aren't we? But how clear, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, according to the gospel, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what does David do in dealing with this thing of cleaving to the dust? He says, my soul cleaves unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. I've declared my ways. There's the confession of sin, and thou heardest me. And he won't depart from this. And look what he says next. He says, teach me thy statutes. Now, the word statutes is actually decrees. Decrees, divine appointments. Now, salvation comes by the decree of God. It doesn't come because I will it. It comes because He willed it. Salvation by His statutes means salvation by grace, by sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. I'm saved because He willed my salvation for Christ's sake. Not because I worked, because He worked. It has nothing to do with me. Now, what is more encouraging than that? Is it encouraging to you that salvation is all of grace and doesn't have anything to do with your works? Teach me your statutes, both in your decrees in salvation and your decrees in providence. Everything that happens, He's in control of. And He caused it, and it's for my good and His glory. That's what Scripture says. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Oh, how encouraging that is. David says, teach me your statutes. Teach them to me. I want to be taught by Him. And then he says in verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Make me to understand the way of your law. It shows me your guilt. Make me to understand the way of your gospel, that I might rest utterly and entirely in your Son. Make me to understand. I can't unless you make me to understand. You know, this is not something you can figure out. You cannot, through diligent study, figure this thing out. You're totally dependent. I'm totally dependent upon revelation. I don't come to God thinking, well, I'm going to get this thing figured out. Lord, teach me. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Look what he says next. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. A depressed person is always thinking of his own works. And I guarantee you, you'll get depressed if you're thinking about your own works. Everything about you. If you feel good about it, you're blind when it comes right down to it. I mean, a depressed person is always thinking about his own works. What is it that encourages a believer thinking about the Lord's works? He says, if you make me to understand the way of thy precepts, what am I going to be talking about? I'm going to be talking about thy wonderful works. His wonderful works of salvation, His achievements on the cross. That's what encourages a believer. You know, you can't look to Christ and be depressed at the same time. Now, when you're depressed, I guarantee you, I know this from experience, you're not really actively looking to Christ at that time. I mean, your new nature is, I realize that, but your old nature is just overcome. You're not looking to Christ. You look to Christ, you won't be depressed, because you'll know He's in control of everything. He says, make me to understand thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 28, he repeats his depression. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Now listen to this. He says, my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Depression is caused by not doing what you're supposed to do according to the word of God. And you know that's so. Depression is caused by not doing what you're supposed to be doing according to the Word of God. Now, what's strengthening about? Strengthening is about being given the strength to do, the power to do. Now, whatever it is I'm called upon to do, is it to believe on Christ? Give me the strength to do it. Is it to repent? Give me the strength to do it. Is it to rest? Give me the strength to do it. Is it to deny myself, take up my cross daily and follow Him?
give me the strength to do it. Whatever it is that I'm called upon to do, give me the strength to do it. And understand this, all that God requires you to do, He will give you the strength to do it. He's promised that in His Word. Everything He requires of you, He's going to give you the strength to do it. Does He require faith? Sure He does. There's no salvation apart from faith. He'll give you that faith. Repentance, on down the line. Love, what? He'll give you the strength to do it. Now, He says, my soul melts for heaven. It's strengthened thou me. Give me the grace to do according unto thy word, according to thy gospel. Now, look what He says in verse 29. And this is such an important verse. I thought that passage was so appropriate that Mark read out of Ephesians. Remove from me the way of lying. First, give me the grace to quit lying to myself. You know, isn't it amazing that we have the capacity to lie to ourselves and make ourselves believe the lie that we told ourselves? I think that's amazing, but every one of us have that capacity. Remove from me the way of lying to myself. Remove from me the way of lying, the lie of the false gospel, the lie of salvation by works. Remove that from me and give me grace to just look to Christ. Remove from me from being a liar. Remove me. This is part of depression, being in the way of lying. Remove from me the way of lying. And look what He says next. And grant me thy law graciously. Now here's what I need. I need for Him to grant me, to graciously bestow upon me, to give me. Not something I got to buy, but something that's just given to me freely. Grant me thy law. Christ's obedience to the law, grant it to me. Take the perfect righteousness of Christ, His law keeping, and grant it to me. Graciously bestow it upon me. I need grace. I need the grace of God for His righteousness to be charged to my account. I need the grace to do whatever He calls upon me to do. Grant me, graciously bestow upon me thy law, thy precept, everything in your word. Graciously. Oh, how I need grace. How I need grace. Remember, grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Don't you want God to give you what you don't deserve? Oh my, that I need that. Grant me thy law graciously. Now look what He says in verse 30. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. Forget that victim mentality. Forget that victim mentality. He says, I've chosen the way of truth, the way of His gospel. I know the only reason I've chosen is because He's enabled me to. I realize that, but I've chosen the way of truth. Give me the truth. Do you want the truth? Do you want the truth? The truth concerning who God is, who you are, and how He saves, who salvation is. Now, this is something that every believer does. He chooses the way of truth. Give me the truth, whatever it says about me, no matter how hard it is to swallow. Give me the truth. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. The judgments, what are His judgments? The judgments accomplished on the cross. That's what I'm looking to. I'm looking to His judgments. That's what I laid before me. I've chosen the way of truth and His judgments, what was accomplished on Calvary's tree. That's what's ahead of me. I'm not looking any other direction. By His grace, I'm only looking to what Christ did. I'm looking to His judgments. That's what's before me. I'm not looking at the road before me trying to figure out how I'm going to walk along it. No. Judgment's accomplished. Salvation's accomplished by what Christ did on the cross. And I've laid His judgments before me. Verse 31. He says, I've stuck unto thy testimonies. I'm not listening to the voice of men. I'm not listening to my own voice. Somebody says, trust your own heart. Scripture says, he that trusts his own heart's a fool. Don't listen to your own voice. Don't listen to your natural reasonings. He said, I've stuck. I'm glued to what you say in your word, not man's word, but thy testimony. And this is a determination. Oh, by the grace of God, I just want to listen to what God says in His Word. Not what men say. What God says. I've stuck to thy testimonies. Oh, Lord, put me not
to shame. Let me be found in Christ. Put me not to shame. Verse 32. David says, I will run. I'm not just going to stumble along. I will run the way of thy commandments, thy gospel. I will run the way of thy commandments, thy word, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, understand this. Here's an understanding of grace. David's not at this time looking for an excuse to not run in the way of his commandments. He wants to run in the way of God's commandments. But notice this. He is aware of the fact that he will only do so as God enables him. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart and enable me to do so. There's an understanding there of grace. Do you understand that the only way that you can run in his commandments is as he enables you to and enlarges your heart? Now, that'll be encouraging to you. You know, if you really believe that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, Lord, enlarge my heart. Give me the grace to run in the way of your commandments. It's confidence in his grace. Now, in closing, depressed, understand it's sin, and we'll make no progress in dealing with this until this is acknowledged. It is sin, it's the child of unbelief, and it's certainly a part of the human experience. It's brought on by circumstances. Some of the things that have happened to people, oh, hard telling how I deal with them. The horrible things that happen to people. It's brought on by circumstances. It's brought on by guilt. The guilt of sin. It's brought on by low self-image. It's brought on by a lack of discipline. It's brought on by being a control freak. It's brought on by selfishness, self-centeredness, self-focusedness, self-righteousness, self-serving, self-promoting, self. You know, self's a bad thing, isn't it? It's brought on by selfishness. It's brought on by bad environment. It's brought on by having no purpose. It's brought on by a victim mentality. And it can certainly be brought on also by physical problems. There's no question about that. Well, what is the remedy? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the remedy? Looking to Christ. That's so simple. Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is. May God give us grace, even right now, to actually rely upon Christ, to rely upon who He is and what He did as enough. Not just the minimum, but everything in salvation. To rely upon Him, knowing that what He did makes you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Believing that, that'll help us with this thing of depression. Now, that's not why we believe. I don't believe in order to not be depressed. But there are salutary effects. There are great effects. There are helpful effects in looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, in believing His Word, in believing His truth, in believing His gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask in Christ's blessed name, that name of thy beloved Son, that you would give each person in this room the grace to look to thy dear Son. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's stand and sing. What page is that on, Paul? Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? Excuse me? 204. We'll stand and sing. Paul, if you'll lead us in that.
Upon you.